Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everyone. You can support Luke's English podcast in several ways. One of them is to send a donation to the podcast using one of the donate buttons on the website. The other way is that you can download an audiobook from audible.com. And to do that, just visit teacherluke.co.uk/audible and you can get started. Okay, now, talking of getting started, here's another episode. So let's get started. Hi, everyone. Just before we start listening to this episode, I should let you know that the conversation that you hear may contain some swearing and some rude language. Okay, so if you're sensitive to swear words and stuff like that, just be aware that there will be a little bit of swearing in this episode. It's normal, really, when native speakers get together with their close friends in an informal situation that a bit of swearing happens. You know, it's used for emphasis, or it's used for humor, or it's used to express surprise or doubt or something like that. And since I intend to play you genuinely natural conversations between friends, the idea being that you can sit there and imagine that you're having a cup of tea with us in a very informal setting. And that's what I want to present to you on Luke's English podcast. So from time to time, because these are natural conversations, naturally there will be a bit of swearing in there too. So there is some swearing in this one. So just be aware of that before you start listening. Okay, enough waffling. Now let's get down to business with this episode. And here we go.
You're listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Luke's English podcast. I hope you're well. I hope you're fine wherever you are in the world at this very moment. Before we get started with this episode properly, I would just like to make a couple of announcements. First of all, thank you very much for your photos for the Luke's English podcast photo competition. I've already received quite a few pictures from you. This competition is basically a chance for you to send in your photographs in order to win some Luke's English podcast merchandise, including mugs, t-shirts and bags. You can still send your photos to podcastcomp@gmail.com until the 15th of January 2016. Remember that your photo should show the environment in which you listen to Luke's English podcast. Feel free to get creative. The only rule is that there has to be some evidence in the photo that you're listening. For example, a headphone in the photo somewhere or something like that. The idea is for all of us to see the different situations that people are in while they listen to this podcast. Once all of the photos have been sent in, I will display them in a mural on the website and you can then have a look at them and pick the one that you like the most. Okay, so that's the photo competition. Also, please do take my business English survey. I mentioned that in a couple of episodes ago. So just go to the menu of the website and you'll find the business English survey under the contacts button. Okay, so just take the survey. Very simple. I'm just collecting some information about business English at the moment. A note on subscribing to the podcast by email. Of course, you can subscribe to the audio episodes using something like iTunes. But if you want to subscribe to not just the audio, but also the other stuff that comes along with each episode, like all the show notes, transcripts, videos, and any other bits and pieces, on the right of the website, underneath the logo on the right-hand side, you'll see a little field that says subscribe by email. Just put your email address in and click subscribe. Then check your inbox to confirm the subscription. And then once you do that, you will receive an email every time I publish a new episode and you'll get direct access to the page for the episode with all the show notes, videos, transcripts and other stuff. So do subscribe to the website by email. Thanks also for different comments that I've had on the website recently. It's awesome to be able to read all of your messages and stuff. You should know that you now have the option to send me voice messages. That's a new thing that I've just put on the website recently. There is now a button on the right-hand side, and it says, I think, send a voice message to Luke. So you'll see the button on the side. Click that to get, and then get your microphone ready and just send me a message. It could be a comment about the podcast or a question. I will receive your audio message in my inbox, and I might play it in an episode of the podcast, especially if you ask a good question. Okay, so check out the voice message function that I now have on teacherluke.co.uk. Right, so now let's get down to business, and let's get started with this episode, which I am calling The Rematch. So this episode is The Rematch, and this is one of those episodes that involves a competitive game between me, Amber and Paul, my friends who are native English speakers, okay? In the last one of these, in the last competitive game episode, which was called The Lying Game, this is what happened. So in The Lying Game last time, the scores at the end were level between Luke and Paul. That's me and Paul. It was even Stevens. So we then played a tiebreaker round. I told a story about the Tooth Fairy. Paul told a story about burning down his house. And in the end, I won because I identified that Paul's story about burning down his house was true. Okay. So I won it. Now, since then, it has come to light that I may have cheated. Okay. People are saying that I might have cheated, but I swear that I didn't. Okay. But some clever listeners have noticed that a story Paul told in The Lying Game, the one about burning down his house, was in fact one that he'd already told on the podcast previously. Okay, he told it in an episode called 10 Fixed Expressions, I think. So, okay, I admit that a rematch is necessary. And here it is, okay? This is what you're going to get in this episode. This is The Lying Game 2, The Rematch. So you're going to hear us play The Lying Game again in this episode. Do you remember the rules of The Lying Game? That's The Lying Game, not The Lion Game. I don't know what The Lion Game is. I suppose that's some sort of game involving big cats. But no, this isn't The Lion Game. It's The Lying Game. I might have to do a whole other episode of the podcast about The Lion Game, because that also sounds pretty fascinating. But anyway, here are the rules of The Lying Game. And they go like this. So one person says a statement. They say a statement. It can be true or it can be a lie. Okay, then the others then ask lots of questions to investigate the story. Okay, they then decide if they think that the story is a lie or if it's the truth, justifying their opinions. Then the truth is revealed, and if a competitor gets it right, they get a point. And if a competitor gets it wrong, then a point is awarded to the storyteller. So this is the rematch. We're going to play another round of The Lying Game. And I ask you, my listeners, while you're listening to this, just pay close attention to the stories and the questions that we ask. And I'd like you to try to predict if these stories are lies or if they are indeed the truth. So as you're listening, try to work out whether you think it's a lie or if you think it's the truth. And then keep listening and you'll find out actually what the answers are. So you can kind of play along with this one. Listen all the way to the end of the second episode. I think this is going to be a two-part episode. Listen all the way to the end of the second episode, and you will hear about a new interactive version of The Lying Game that we plan to play with you next time. And that will involve your input a lot more. So we'll tell you about that at the end of part two of this episode, okay? So at the beginning of this episode, you will hear us chatting a bit about our recent news, okay? So before we start playing the game, as usual, there's a bit of a ramble chat at the beginning, and you hear us talking about our recent news, including a couple of stories about doing comedy shows and some experiences that I had telling a joke that I thought was very clever, but the audience didn't understand. So we talk a little bit about the complexities of doing comedy in another language. Amber shares something about an interesting podcast that she listened to recently, and Paul tells a story about how he saw a girl lose one of her teeth on stage during a stand-up comedy performance recently. So you'll hear a bit about that stuff, and then after our little ramble chat, we then get properly into the Lion Game, which will continue in part two of this episode. So yes, I am glad to say that Amber and Paul are on another episode of the podcast. So let's get started, and here we go.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah.
How was your tea?
My tea was good. Yeah, it's a quality cup of tea. Best cup of tea ever. Got to get those. Got to get on the Marks and Spencer's Gold Brew.
Best cup of tea in town, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want a good cup of tea, come to Luke's place. And you'll get, you know, proper cup of tea with milk and all that. I want to do a podcast about how to make a cup of tea. Mm. And I think it would be an hour long.
You know, I've done that in 15 seconds.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Did a top tip.
A Taylor's top tip, 15 seconds. He's going to drag it out for an hour.
I am.
That's basically... That's like us on our stand-up where Luke's always like, God, I don't know, like he's like, you've often told me like my jokes are like, they're just quick and yeah, you know, efficient. And yours are a little bit not.
I like to sort of drag mine out. Yeah, a bit rambly. Yeah. But it depends, you see, sometimes the reason why I sometimes ramble is because I need to get confirmation that everyone has understood everything 100%. And it's just something like, if I feel like someone is not quite on board, then I have to go over it again and bring them on board until I feel comfortable to be able to move on. Now, I know that what is best is if someone is just sort of dictating the pace and they just go, you know, through all their points really fast. But there's something wrong with my brain, which means that I can't do that.
Well, no, but it's good because then if you're at a stand-up gig and people don't understand a joke that you've made, you then explain it, which I find hilarious. And they still don't understand. I'm only talking about one example here with the Russians. You're not rushing to come and see us.
Did we tell that story on the podcast yet?
I think we might have, but I don't remember.
I don't remember if
I've told
that
it
story
on my podcast, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay, this is... see, I don't, like talking about this and what's the word for it? Sort of analysing my comedy like this. I don't want to give people the impression that I don't know what I'm doing, you know? Because like when I talk about... like when I can be a bit self-critical and a bit self-reflective. And if I start talking about, you know, all these examples of how sometimes I ramble a bit too much and other times when I've made a joke and it hasn't worked and I've explained it,
yeah,
that people are going to think, well, he doesn't know what he's doing. I do, but sometimes shit happens. So this story of the Russian thing. So we were doing one of our gigs recently and a bunch of people turned up a bit late and I was the first one on stage and there were people arriving during my set.
Like 15 minutes late.
About 15 minutes late. And they came in the room and I was like incorporating them in and I was like, hello, come in. Great to have you here. Where are you from? You know, to engage them a bit. And one of them said, oh, we're Russian. And I said, well, clearly you weren't rushing to get here because you're late, aren't you? Nothing.
It's great. I was at the sound booth, not the sound booth, but you know, the mixing table where I was doing the music behind. I was almost on the floor, but there was no reaction. No reaction. And then so Luke...
Nothing. No response.
They just didn't enjoy a pun.
Well, they didn't realise it was a joke. Nobody picked up on the fact that that was a joke. And the majority of the audience were non-native speakers of English. You know, we had obviously lots of French people, but a few different nationalities in there too. And there must have been, I don't know how many people, 20?
Yeah, 20
people or something like that. So I dropped this... this joke on the audience, like, well, you clearly weren't rushing to get here for the show because you're late, and just nothing. The audience just looked at me. They just looked at me as if to say, "And what's the next thing you're going to say?" And I was like, "No, no, this stops.
No, that was a joke.
This stops this here."
And you need to understand that I was making a fucking hilarious joke.
Yeah, it's like this stops here, right? I didn't get that angry, but I was like, "Hold on a minute, I think you just didn't realise that I made rather a hilarious joke."
I was doing it in a, with an ironic sort of, you know, self-referential, you know, approach, which was like, wait a minute, I think you'll find that I made a hilarious joke and none of you noticed it. And so I went, I'm going to back up and explain the joke, you know, expecting them to start enjoying that because it was kind of an ironic dissection.
He goes, what just happened is that some people walked into the show late and I asked them where they were from and they said Russian. So I said, you're not rushing to get here because you're late. Still silence, and I'm still dying in the back. I'm still.
Paul was, you know, in critical condition. The rest of the audience were just looking at me as if. Now, like, first of all, in that situation, there were three different levels of meaning going on. One level is, you know, Luke is just talking to us. That's one level of meaning. The second level of meaning is the Russian joke. You weren't rushing to get here on time. And then the third level of meaning is me saying, I just told a joke using the word Russian and you didn't understand it. And I'm now making fun of the fact that you didn't understand it and I'm still explaining it. Mm. You know, that's the third joke.
Yeah.
And still, they're on level one.
Did they ever laugh? Did you get a laugh out of them the whole night?
Oh, the whole night, yes. Yes, you know, with some of my more... you know, easy to understand and easy to consume material. Yeah. But that kind of off-the-cuff gag, which I thought was quite clever. You know, I was like, wait a minute, that was quite clever. I just came out with that from nowhere.
Yeah.
And I needed that to be acknowledged, and they just weren't even aware that I was asking them to acknowledge that.
So
I
now
made
you're
a joke.
Asking the Lipsters to acknowledge it.
Yeah, you should
let it go. You're proud of that pun.
Yeah, exactly. I came up with a joke from nowhere, and I need to be recognised for it.
Your tag line for your comedy show should be Luke Thompson. He's English, but he's good.
That's true. But that refers to a joke that I tell in my show. Like,
yeah, but what I'm telling you about my jokes is that you can digest them. They're easily digestible.
Again, another reference to some of my material that my listeners might not know, probably tell that joke on the podcast that I do jokes about English food and the fact that, you know, English food is often criticized around the world. In fact, I did a gig just the other day and on Tuesday, and I was telling a story about George Clooney and the coffee, you know, the hey, is that a Velluto? It's like, what kind of chat up line is that, George? Come on, you're George Clooney. You don't need to use terrible chat up lines. Anyway, I was telling this story about George Clooney and his coffee commercial. And a girl in the audience who was, I don't know where she was from, she just piped up immediately and said, yeah, but, you know, that's because English coffee is terrible. I was like, what? That's got nothing to do with this story at all.
There is no English coffee.
There is no French coffee. Well,
coffee is not made in England.
Well, but you know, what she was saying is that coffee made in England is not good enough.
That's
And it was like, wait a minute, that just because I said the word coffee and I'm English, does that mean that you can now just... It was a bit of a case of like, never mind what you're saying about George Clooney. I have to let you know that coffee in England is terrible.
Wow.
So anyway, the French people often, you know, make fun of English food and stuff. Indeed. And you see it on commercials, and there's a commercial, an advertisement on the metro in Paris for English biscuits, chocolate digestives, which we all know is the best brand of biscuit in the world.
Delicious.
The chocolate digestive. Yeah. It's amazing.
Beautiful.
And it's a well-known fact. But the way that the French sell these English biscuits to their public is using the tagline, McVitie's digestives. They're English, but they're good, which I find to be sort of unfair.
It is unfair.
You know, just leave our biscuits alone, you know? Like, it's imagine selling any other product like that. Like, French music. It's okay, it's French, but it's actually quite good.
Yeah. French films. They're French, but they're good.
But they're good if you give them a chance.
That's not often true, though, is it?
No, I don't know. French films can be good. They're often very good. If you want to see...
A very depressing film with a pretty girl looking into the middle distance. Or, bam! French film!
Yeah, if you want a realistic drama about a family who... And either the father or the mother, or maybe both, are involved in an extramarital affair.
Yeah.
And nothing happens at the end. Like, there's no conclusion.
You're right. Then there you go.
Then that's... Great. If that's French what you film. Want, then go and see a French film, and they do that sort of thing very well. There will be a little sex scene in the middle of it.
Quite a lot of smoking. A
lot of smoking, some nudity, and some emotionally heart-wrenching family-based drama.
Quite a lot of silence.
Yeah, moments of silence. Yeah. maybe a holiday sequence.
Or science?
Silence.
Oh, I thought you said
not
science.
Not much science, I don't think.
It'd be good if they threw some science in there as well.
Might cheer it up.
In the French movie.
Here comes
you know,
science
I love you, I love you, you know, I'm going to die if I can't be with you. And E equals MC squared. I don't know if you knew that as well. No, there's not much science in French films. Anyway, we're being completely distracted away from some sort of point that was being made about...
Just the Russians. And then I said what you should say, you should add to your joke is like, my jokes, they're English.
But they're good. Yeah.
Which is true.
All right.
Should we start this?
Yeah, should we start this? I don't know if I'm going to include all of that preamble. But anyway, at least we got ourselves warmed up. So, hello guys. How are you doing today?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, absolutely fine. Why is that funny?
I don't know.
Okay, so it's kind of a grey day. It's a bit chilly outside, isn't it, today?
Did we start the last podcast exactly the same way?
We have to talk about
the weather
conditions. Okay, look, you must have realised.
No one gives a shit. They're watching this.
I don't care, right? You must have realised by this point that the only way to get this conversation started is to talk about the conditions in the room. And it brings it more into reality. It's my fucking podcast. Right? So I can do what the hell I like. And I'm asking you what the atmospheric conditions are like at this
point. It's chilly. It's cold.
Mm. Good. I'm glad we...
And that's it. It's cold.
I'm glad we...
And we're in. We can now officially start.
We can now
start.
Talk about something else.
Second question is, how's your day going?
My day is going okay. I've been cleaning because my mother-in-law is going to be staying in my flat. And so I got up early and I've been cleaning a lot. Because she's very judgmental.
It's good to clean, though. Doesn't it feel good to clean up a bit?
Yeah, it's nice to clean, but I wouldn't have minded doing something else. But I had to get it all done
right
now.
So it's cleaning under pressure, which is the worst kind of cleaning.
And cleaning to someone else's exacting standards.
Right, okay. Mm. But it feels quite good in the soul, doesn't it, when you've cleaned the place up and it's
it's nice.
Yeah, okay, but... This is being overshadowed by the arrival of your mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I feel that's a whole other podcast there.
That is a whole other podcast, okay. Yeah.
Mothers-in-law, that's the next podcast that we're going to do. I don't have a mother-in-law, so it doesn't really work.
Well, you know.
Not yet.
I've got a grandmother-in-law. No, but I won't have a...
You'll never have a mother-in-law.
No. Addie's parents have both passed away, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm lucky.
Yeah, well,
I don't have to deal with in-laws.
Every cloud has a silver lining, they say. Her parents are dead, but you
don't have to deal with a mother-in-law.
You don't have a mother-in-law.
Exactly, yeah. She has to deal with mine, though.
Yeah. She can make up for...
My mum makes two mothers-in-laws.
Yeah.
She's enough. She's worth two mother-in-laws.
Paul Francis James Taylor.
Because she's from Northern Ireland.
She's from Northern Ireland.
Does that make a difference, the fact that she's from Northern Ireland?
Yeah, she's a bit more of a pain in the ass.
Really?
Yeah.
See you, Paul. See what...
She calls it her full name. If she's angry at me, it's a full... Paul Francis James Taylor. How many times have I told you to stop kicking that fucking ball in this house?
How many times have I got to tell you not to burn the fucking house down? Okay, but your day's going all right, is it, Paul? Yes?
Yeah, it's going well. Yeah, I woke up today.
Good, that's a good way to begin the day.
It is, yeah. I woke up for the first time at 9 o'clock. It's the earliest I've woken up in a long time.
9 o'clock?
I know. The life of not having a job.
Spare me.
I know.
Not having a job or a child.
I don't have a job. I have a child.
Yeah.
Nature's horrible alarm.
Well, whose fault is that?
Whose fault is that?
What time do you get up every day then, Amber?
About 7.
Yeah. And I suppose you're ripped from your bed by a youngling.
Well, he just sort of like... It's just when he wakes up, he's in a really good mood and starts giggling, but then just like sort of lies on my face and starts going, "Mummy, mummy, biddy, biddy," and laughing.
What biddy? Does biddy mean?
Biddy means biscuit. He wants a biscuit for breakfast.
He's British.
Do you speak to me in English?
Yeah, of course I do.
Only in English?
Only in English.
Good.
Yeah.
Because I met, I didn't meet him, but I've seen him a couple of times, Robert's youngling. Who's 11?
His son.
Yeah, his son.
Yeah.
Who's 11. Right. And he speaks French like a French person, speaks English like an American. And I'm like, yes, you're doing the right thing. Mm. And he's only ever spoken to him in American.
Wow.
Which is great.
Okay.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
And is he kind of, does he feel like an American kid as well when he speaks American?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. They came around because he bought my Xbox off of me for his Christmas present.
Oh, right. Did you get a good deal?
Yeah, it was good.
Did you rip off the kid or?
Yeah. I took him to pieces. No,
he's only 11 years old. He doesn't know.
Yeah, it was a really random
price.
Conversation. I was chatting with Rob on the phone, and I was like, "Oh, I've got to go because I've got to go buy Milo an Xbox." And I'm like, "Oh, do you fancy buying mine? Because I've played it 3 times since I purchased it."
Why did you only play it 3 times?
I don't know. I used to be really into video games when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I bought it because I wanted to keep in touch with my 16-year-old brother. Who plays video games, but he...
Maybe you should have bought a telephone.
But it turns out, because he's now a professional footballer, that he doesn't have time to play video
Your
games.
Your brother's a professional football player.
Yeah.
Seriously?
No. Yeah, he earns more money than I do, and he's 16.
What's his name?
Well, who does
Kyle
he play,
Taylor.
Who does he play
Never heard
football
of
for?
No, because he's a youth. He plays in the youth team for Bournemouth, who are in the Premier League.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. My I don't gosh, know if they'll stay in.
That is another podcast, right? There.
I know. I don't Rising. Know if they'll stay in the Premier League because they're at the bottom right now.
Well, when he gets in the team, they'll probably get relegated. Badum. It was just a joke. I don't know the quality of his playing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, apparently he's pretty good. So yeah, he might become a famous footballer, and I might become a famous comedian.
Yeah.
Imagine
if it all went weird and you ended up being a professional footballer.
Huh?
Imagine if it all went sort of weird and you ended up being a professional footballer, and he became a comedian.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
That would be. Like some sort of weird movie where the roles are reversed.
Imagine
that. Yeah. Okay. Well.
Anyway.
So anyway, you're both here. You've been filled with hot drinks with caffeine.
I was going to tell you about this podcast. We got waylaid, but on my way.
Is it available
here,
on audible.com?
No, it's not available on Audible, but I believe it's sponsored by Audible. It's free. It's called Here Be Monsters, and I was listening to it on the way here, and it's sort of random stories, and I wanted to tell you about it because it was so funny. And there is in America a lot of Christian websites where you can like write in and people pray for you for various reasons, and then there's this other one which is like a Satan website, and they've got like a call, like a line that you can call up and like ask for Satan to do stuff for you.
Really?
Do you speak to Satan on the other end? Like,
no, you just speak to other Satanists. You leave a message telling them what prayers you want, and it's really funny because it's just juxtaposition of like people phoning up and they're in this really customer service mode, like, oh hello, it's Barbara here. I've been a Satanist now for about 3 years. I mean, I really love your website. And I was just wondering if you could help me pray. And then like, you know, for some mean thing, you know, like...
Wait a minute, so there are lots of Christians in the United States,
yeah,
but there are also lots of Satanists as
probably
well.
Probably not
there?
Lots, but like there's enough that they've got like this call center that they can call up and call for help. And so one guy, he wanted to have sex with his mother-in-law, and he wanted them, and they all finished their conversation by saying "Hail Satan!" But they're in this,
really?
But this kind of really customer servicey and sort of commodified, and right. It's like, oh, I'll just phone into the Satan helpline.
1-800-SATAN. Call 1-800-SATAN to have your wishes come true.
Hi, you're through to the Satan prayer hotline. How can I help you today? Like, yes, I'd like my mother-in-law to be killed. Certainly, sir. We'll surely put a few prayers in Sir Satan for that one. Anything else we can help you with today? Me. No, just the killing. Well, you have have yourself a nice day, sir.
Yeah.
It's like overly friendly kind of Satan service.
Really
on
friendly Satan service.
On a scale
Satan
of 1
service.
To 10, how would you recommend our service to your friends and family?
But it's really remarkable. You should listen to it.
Okay, I will. Here Be Monsters.
Here Be Monsters. This week's episode, okay. Satan Hotline.
Okay, all right.
You know what could have happened with that? I think the other day, so I was at a comedy gig the other night, a French one, mm-hmm. a pretty big one. I think somebody must have asked for prayers to happen for this female comedian to lose her tooth on stage.
She lost her tooth.
Yeah, so
an adult tooth.
Yeah, so this
on
what,
stage.
Yeah, so this is what happened. She was. This is a thing. It's like the biggest comedy club in France. It's called The Comedy Club. And there's about 150 people in the audience. A big stage. It's usually filmed for TV, but this is like the open mic, so there's no filming. And the girl was on stage. She was really energetic, quite short. Her name is Ines. And she was bouncing around. And at some stage, she knocked the microphone into her mouth. So the microphone, she like... smacked the microphone like it made a noise that I could hear from the backstage on the live feed.
I can't bear
she
it.
Didn't notice straight away, and she had an audience member on stage who was going to do a role play with her. She'd given him like a piece of paper and said, "Oh, you're gonna say this, and I'm gonna say this." And then as she's saying this, her mouth starts bleeding.
No,
and the audience
it's
see
like a
this
horror film.
Yeah, and the audience see this. They're like, "Oh, what's going on?" She's like, "Oh." oh my, I think
oh no.
Yeah, I think I might have just smacked my tooth. And then her tooth falls out onto the floor, onto the stage.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
And she doesn't know
Did
what's going on.
Did she get a laugh?
Yeah, everyone, well, everyone's like, oh, we don't know what's going on. But she's laughing. She's hysterical. She's really funny. So she just carried on. She's like, oh, I don't know. And then the host got back on the stage and was like, oh, please give Ines a big hand. She was all, whatever. So he got off stage and then he tried to finish the sketch with like this audience member with the piece of paper to try and read out the things. And he was just like, forget it, it's not happening. But it ended up being very funny.
Is she okay?
Yeah, I think so. And it was funny because at the end of gigs in France, you know how they get people to do their actualité or the thing, like, what are you guys up to? You know, and everyone's like, oh, I've got another show here.
They promote
themselves, right? Luke often, he says, I've got a podcast for learning English, you know, and then this girl was like, oh, well, starting tomorrow, you can find me at the dentist. I'll be there at 9 a.m. tomorrow. So it was fun, but oh, yeah.
That is like the stuff of nightmares.
I can imagine somebody writing into your Satan hotline being like, I really don't like this girl. Can she please lose her tooth on stage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, if you called the Satan prayer hotline, what would you ask Satan to do? What would be your prayer for Satan?
Oh, good question.
Not that we believe in Satan or anything. We're not into Satan or anything because it's obviously just stupid. But
I would ask for I would tell a Satanist to kill the person who invented cherry yogurts.
Cherry yogurts.
Cherry yogurts.
I like cherry yogurt.
What's wrong with cherry yogurt?
Delicious.
They're always the yogurt that's the one left after. No one eats it.
It's the last yogurt.
If you've got a pack of six, the cherry yogurt's the one that's always last because no one likes it.
I see. So it's like, what's the point of having cherry yogurt? Have two apricot, two strawberry. Don't have a cherry one.
Yeah, just add another strawberry.
Is killing the person the solution?
Absolutely,
you think?
Yeah.
Okay. You think there's one guy, the cherry yogurt guy?
Yeah.
He needs to be taken down.
He does, yeah.
Okay, you need to take out a contract on this guy. Let's get him taken care
of. Do you like cherry
of.
Yogurts?
I do like cherry
really?
Yogurt.
Oh, right.
I don't mind them.
Do you like them? Like, as in, if you've got a pack
Nico
of
Nico buys them
out of
choice.
No, I wouldn't choose the cherry.
It's always the last one.
I might even leave the cherry. I might even say no yogurt is better than cherry yogurt.
Yeah, and you wait for it to go off, go by its sell-by date, and then you go, oh, I've got to throw it in the bin. What a shame.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. Nico buys cherry yogurt. Like, he'll buy a pack of cherry yogurt. Just cherry.
He's disgusting. The reason why cherry yogurt is still
exists,
being made.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
He buys cherry ice cream. That's disgusting.
I like cherries, but they don't taste like cherries when they're in yogurts.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
All right. Right.
I wouldn't save poverty. I wouldn't kill Daesh. I wouldn't do any. Just cherry yogurts are fine.
Okay.
If cherry yogurts are not on this planet anymore, I'm happy.
The world would be a better
Thanks,
place.
Thanks, Satan.
Okay. Amber?
I don't know. What could I ask Satan for? What would you
More
ask Satan?
More cherry yogurt? Just to annoy him.
I don't know. What about you, Luke?
I think I would probably, let's see. All right. I would use the Satan hotline to ask Satan to make sure that there were no... Well, this is a good thing. You see, I'm asking Satan to do me a favour.
The Satan hotline needs to be something... A lot of them are a bit naughty. Yeah. Like they kind of want something... Because they're American, don't forget. They get this quite sort of strict moral codes.
Right.
Like what's allowed and what's not allowed. And so if it's a bit indulgent, like you might not think, I'll pray to Satan to have sex with my mother-in-law. Some people really like their mother-in-laws. You might just think, I'll just flirt with my mother-in-law. But, you know, it is naughty. It's a sin. You know, he's married and all the rest of it.
Right.
So if something counts as a sin, even if it's on a sort of small scale, like, you know, telling a lie or being greedy or anything like that.
I don't know.
I think Satan could help you out.
I'm just such a morally good man.
Yeah, you are.
That the idea of committing evil just doesn't appeal to me because that's the path to the dark side, isn't it? You know. What I'd do is I'd like to. I don't know. I'm just going to think of something ridiculous and horrible.
Go on then.
I don't know. I'd like to be able to. I've really no idea. Maybe I want to.
Well, you asked the question, so...
I know, now you've put us in the spot.
Now you've asked the question. He's given up.
There must be something you want, even like a small thing.
Well, it has to be something evil.
What annoys you?
What annoys me is like, you know, getting an apple that's got a bruise in it, but I can't ask Satan to remove a bruise from an apple. Satan's like, I am Satan, I am evil, I will do all your evil biddings. Satan, could you remove the bruises from all my apples?
Okay.
What?
Okay, I know. I went for a job the other day and I wasn't picked. and I was a bit upset about it.
Well, I'd like to.
So I would like to mess up the recording of that girl's like casting so that I got the job.
That's good.
There we go.
That's a good one.
All right. I'm just
all right,
not
next
inspired.
Question.
Oh, look,
go, keep
you're,
going.
You're
all right,
just
next.
Too
Let's
good.
Go on to the main
Come
topic
on.
Of this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We are all here because we are all liars.
Thank
are
you.
We?
Yeah, we are.
We're cheating liars.
Okay, well, so this episode is called The Lying Game Number 2. I'm thinking of calling it Lying Game 2, the rematch. Because not long ago on this podcast, you guys came over and we played the lying game.
Uh-huh.
You'd need to go back a few episodes to listen to those ones. So those are episodes number 308 and 309.
Oh, you split
no,
it into
yeah,
two.
I split it into two.
This one's going to be split into five.
No, it's not. I plan to make this one as just one episode if possible. So in that game, do you remember what happened? Do you remember what the final result was? What happened, Amber?
You and Paul drew, I believe.
Yeah. No,
there was
Luke
a draw,
won.
And then you had to have a tiebreaker.
Oh, yes, yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. It was it was even Stevens between Paul and me, and so we needed to have a tiebreaker.
Well, the only way it was even Stevens is because we teamed up to up against Amber to make sure that she didn't win.
Yes, yes, you did.
Yes.
And but we came to a conclusion that she was a liar. And so that meant that we were in a final.
Yeah.
Right. That's and right. And in that tiebreaker, I won.
Yeah.
And I emerged the victor from that particular game. But since then, controversy has rocked Luke's English podcast. Allegations of cheating have been made against me specifically. Several people who are keen listeners to this podcast, maybe even keener listeners than I am, and it's my podcast, but they noticed that your story about nearly burning down your house was not new to my ears.
Yeah.
I didn't remember, honestly. I put my hand up now. Yeah. I'm going to swear on my MacBook Pro that I didn't remember the story about you nearly burning down your house.
I didn't remember that I told the story on... So when somebody mentioned it, because I think the first comment was, oh, Luke, you told your story about the Dave Grohl and meeting him up at a Buddha temple before.
Yeah.
But we hadn't heard that, so
that's
that was
okay,
fine.
And
then, but then when you told me that somebody else had told me about the story, they thought they'd heard me. I said, no, that can't be true. Until they added a detail that I didn't tell in the recent episode. I was like, okay, so I must have told it because...
So, in fact, it's true. You did tell that story on the podcast before, and
I didn't
remember. Mm. You actually told that story on an episode called 10 Fixed Expressions, which was recorded earlier this year. We were upstairs playing around with expressions, and I asked you to give an example of when you cocked something up.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what's the biggest cock up you've ever made? And you told the story of how you nearly burned down your house. And I'm actually going to play that little extract to you now, ladies and gents. This is just 1 minute's worth of episode 284 or 283.
It wasn't even that long ago.
It wasn't that even that
no,
long ago.
I remember that episode, but I don't remember that.
But this is Paul talking about how he nearly burned down his house. And this is evidence that I had heard it before, even though I still maintain that I'm not a cheat. But we'll see. Here's what you said.
The biggest cock-up I ever made, I don't know the biggest one I've ever made, but one that comes to mind right now was when I was a kid. I used to really like playing with toy cars, like most boys.
Yeah.
And I used to like crashing them and creating like car crashes with them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got a hold of, I was outside in the garden, and I got a hold of, I think, my dad or mum's matches.
Yes.
Because I wanted to burn them and create like an actual car crash.
Of course you did.
So I was out in the garden and I started lighting up like the cars. And because it was the summer, the grass caught on fire because it was very dry. And it just the whole bush basically, which was probably a good like 20 meters long.
Oh, God.
It was like a big bush around a garden. It caught on fire and all the neighbors had to come with like buckets and hoses and like people like eyes were hurting because of the smoke. And that was probably my biggest cock up as a child was that.
Wow, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
You nearly burned down the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very good one. So there it is, evidence, proof that you had actually told that story before. So, okay, hold my hands up, that was true, but I still don't think that I'm lying, unless my subconscious was going, probably. It's a lie, and I don't remember.
It's that Darren Brown stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
So that was the accusation?
That was the accusation.
That Luke cheated.
Because he knew
that story, and so therefore we have to have a rematch.
I maintain my innocence, but I'm willing to have a rematch, basically.
All right.
So what we'll do is we'll call it quits and say that we're back on level terms again. We'll start from scratch. Okay. So the scores are level at this point at zero apiece. Now, listeners, you know the rules of this game. Basically, you have to just tell something, and we have to investigate the person's story. Imagine you're like Columbo, you're like a detective, you know, you ask all the questions, then even when you feel that you've finished, you can come back and say, oh, there was just one more thing. Just like in the detective series Columbo. And that's it. And at the end, we have to decide if we think it's true or if it's a lie and justify why. And then points are awarded based on the result of that. Okay. So I asked you to think about a couple of things that you could say. Are you guys mm-hmm. ready?
Yeah.
You ready to start the game?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Well, let's get started. Now, who's going to go first?
I don't know.
No? You don't know? The order that we went in before is that I went first, then Paul, then you, Amber. Right?
Okay.
That's the order we had before. So should we go for that again?
Sure.
Yes, let's go for that again.
Go for it.
I'm Luke from Luke's English Podcast. I call the shots
around here.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do. All right, so you ready? Ready to hear my story? Okay, so when I was a kid at school, I once hit a teacher. I hit a teacher.
It's true. All right, next.
You hit a teacher out of anger? Why did you hit them?
Revenge. It was a revenge. It was an act of revenge.
How old were you?
Gosh, I must have been about 14, 13.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. 14?
Not that young. Yeah, I was.
Kids are taller than me at 11. Oh, was it a female teacher?
No, it was a male teacher.
What was his name?
His name was Mr. Webster.
Mm. What did he teach?
He taught history. He was my history teacher.
Just history?
He may have taught other things, but he taught me history.
Okay, he wasn't like your form teacher?
No, he wasn't. No,
how many people did you have in your class?
There must have been about 25 to 30 people in the class.
What did you hit him with?
My hand.
Where did you hit him?
I hit him on the back of his head. So it was...
On the back of his head?
Yeah, it was an open palm, not a fist, open palm slap to the back of the head.
Was he sitting down?
No, he was on his feet at the time.
Where, was this during class or was it after class or out in the street?
It was between classes. So it wasn't in front of the class. It wasn't like, Thompson, come up here, blah, blah, blah. Oh, screw you, mister. Slap. It wasn't like that.
Describe the lead up to the slap.
Okay, so I was walking along a corridor in the school. Okay, it was like between classes or something like that. I don't really remember exactly when, but it was a quiet time in the school mm-hmm. and there was no one on the corridor except, you know, 20, 30 feet ahead of me, Mr. Webster was walking along the corridor. So I ran up behind him, sneaked up behind him, slapped him on the back of the head and disappeared up the stairs. They were like, I got him just as he was passing the stairs. I slapped him on the back of the head and then I legged it up the stairs and out of the way.
How did you feel?
Great.
What had he done to merit this revenge?
So there is a bit of background context, which I feel justifies what I did. All right.
Your cowardly act of adolescence.
No, it
revenge.
Wasn't a cowardly act. It was an act
you slapped
of...
him on the back of the head. I'm sorry. It's not very
okay,
brave.
Okay, well, let me explain.
Your dog.
Let me explain what he did.
Gave him a bee.
Let me explain what he did, all right? So we were in a history class and we were studying World War II. And Mr. Webster was trying to explain some kind of military maneuver. Mm-hmm. Okay? I think it was a maneuver that Hitler had done during World War II. And the maneuver was basically that you act like the attack is coming from one direction. And so when the enemy thinks it's coming from that direction, you attack from the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And in order to demonstrate this, he got me up in front of the whole class. He said, Thompson, come up here. Stand here. Okay. And he used me as an example. And with one hand, he went to sort of hit me in the face with one hand. So I was expecting the attack to come from the front. And then with the other hand, while I was not expecting it, he whacked me on the back of the head.
Oh, okay.
Slapped me around the back of the head. The whole class laughed. It was humiliating, but I was all right with it. You know, it was kind of like a, I didn't mind. I think he picked me up because he knew that I wouldn't take it too seriously. But he did slap me on the back of the head in front of the class and then make me sit down. And so when I saw him walking down the corridor on his own, I just immediately thought this is an opportunity to get him back.
How did you think he would react to the slap?
Well, I thought that because, so he was kind of a youngish teacher, first mm-hmm. of all. And I knew that he had a sense of humour. And I also knew that he kind of liked me as a student. So I don't. I thought that he would take it in the right way.
And what actually happened afterwards?
Nothing.
Talk about.
I got away with it completely. I went up the stairs. Nothing happened.
What
happened?
Did he never speak to you afterwards?
No, it was never mentioned. He didn't come after me. He didn't shout. I just whacked him on the back of the head and ran up the stairs. Nothing.
How do you think he reacted, him as a person?
I imagine and I hope that he noticed it was me and he kind of went, ah, okay. He
and,
got me
and
back.
And knew it was just a joke.
Yeah.
What did you do when you got to the top of those stairs? Why were you out in this corridor?
Honestly,
why were you not in school?
Honestly, I don't remember. I don't remember why I was out in the corridor at that time. I don't know what it was.
Hmm.
I don't remember that detail.
Okay.
Okay.
Paul?
Is there one more thing or
no,
is he satisfied?
I think it doesn't seem very you, Luke. The tricky thing about this game is that we know each other. You know, we know each other fairly well, I'd say. And I think it's not something that I can see you doing. However, I can see you doing it if you had an inkling on that you got on well with the teacher and he was a kind of a cool teacher. But
yeah.
What kind of school did you go to? Was it private? Was it a...
No, it was just a comprehensive secondary school, state school, not a private place or anything, just a normal state school.
Did you call him sir?
Mr. Webster.
Mr. Webster.
Yeah.
The thing is...
What was his first name?
No idea.
Who knows those things? I think the thing is, Luke... The idea of Luke hitting a teacher sounds unimaginable because Luke literally couldn't think of anything for Satan to do. Like, not one thing. He couldn't think of anything at all.
No,
he couldn't think of making the boulanger give him free bread. I mean, nothing. But the story is very coherent. And Luke has a very intimate relationship with education. He's a teacher. He obviously enjoys teaching. And that was a really clever teaching move. Like the feint, like demonstrating with Luke actually was really clever because the kids would have loved it. And I bet Luke liked it too in some ways, because though it was embarrassing, he was chosen by this young teacher. So I would say
maybe I
believe Luke.
I kind of believe it. And I'm also wondering maybe if he's done this to one of his students and one of his students has done it back
to him. I don't think he'd ever hit a student ever, even in a joke. I think it's, part
think
of me
true.
Is like, it feels really, really unlikely, but I do really like the story, so I want it to be true. So I'm going to say true.
I'm going to say it's not true, just to be, but I'm going to say that parts of it are true and it might have happened to someone else in his class. Like a bit of someone like me.
What, that he's just stolen the story. That's a cheap trick.
No, it's not. That's part of this whole game.
Fair enough. Okay, so I'll say true, you say not true.
No.
Come on.
Some of the details have to be true, or you've thought about you, because the whole maneuver thing and that was too good. I'm going to say it's a lie.
It's hard actually to get your hand behind the student. I was expecting him to go one cheek to the other, but still, you know, teachers at all.
I was standing face onto the class. He was standing side onto the class. With his left hand, he came to the front. And with his right hand, he came around the back. And
no, I'm going to say it's a lie.
It's a good idea. Although that is a bit of a curious teaching technique. I will admit that. But it was a while ago.
Yes.
It was before. Doing that.
I don't think he would have got away with it today.
Today, no, I don't think so.
Because, you know, people are very sensitive about touching kids in any way.
Yeah.
Especially hitting them. But, you know, this was when I was 13 or 14 years old. So that's, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah, but also you say that. Back then, I would say teachers were even more strict than they are now, though. So I'm going to say it's a lie.
No, I'm going to go true.
Okay, so the answer is, it's true.
Shit.
Yes. There was too many great details there.
And in fact, I think that I may have mentioned that on the podcast as well.
Come on.
That makes no difference.
We don't know.
You haven't listened to all my episodes, of course. But I think that some of my listeners, that was a kind of... kind of a wink to some of my listeners who've listened to all my episodes, but I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who hadn't heard that before. But yes, it's true. Yeah. And all of the details that I gave were completely true.
Mm.
And I knew that when I'd done it, I knew while doing it that it was all right somehow. You know, sometimes you just get a sense that you're going to get away with it and that he's going to understand why I did it.
You're at that age where you're almost crossing over. A teacher could be a person.
Yeah.
Like, not your mum, not just a hated figure, but an actual person.
And I actually think he was a very good teacher, too. And I felt like that I had a certain... I had respect for the guy, even though I hit him on the back of the head. But I just felt like it was a message. Because he'd hit me, and I was like, right, I'm going to get you back. And
so you didn't in a way, smile. You didn't, like, it never got talked about afterwards.
No, never, ever was ever mentioned.
If Mr. Webster is listening to this podcast, please get in touch.
He's not listening to this podcast. Well, he may be, because everyone listens to Luke's English podcast, as we know. So if Mr. Webster is listening to this, then let me know. But for me, it was just my way of I don't know what military maneuver it was that I was demonstrating, but I was demonstrating one of them.
Guerrilla.
I was using a guerrilla tactic to get him back. Okay, so
Taylor's on the bottom again as usual. So losing this.
I'm never going
to stop showing up to your frigging competition. Oh, let's just do a competition on the podcast so Paul can lose again.
I lost last time.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Only because I plotted against you. I got him on side and I was like, we need to take this woman down. She can't win this every time.
Okay,
but
right.
if we agree, Paul, that I subcontiously cheated last time, then you didn't.
Then I won.
Did win.
Then I won.
All right. So at the end of round one, Amber's got 1 point. Paul, unfortunately, has got no points. And I've got 2 points. Because remember, you get 2 points every time someone else gets it wrong. Remember that whenever you convince someone.
Okay,
you
so
get
you could have
points.
Potentially got four.
Yeah, so the highest you can get is four.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can either get 4, 2, or 1.
This system's a bit tricky because if you got four,
yeah,
and then you got two, and I got, you know, like, you can win in, I don't know,
in just one round. Yeah. You think?
Yeah. Well, you could. It's
we need to
dodgy.
Maybe we need to evaluate this point system. Maybe I should adapt the point system so it's just 1 point for anything. You get 1 point if you guess correctly, and you get
so
1 point.
So you've got 1 point.
Okay,
each.
So you've got 1 point each. That's okay. Good. That's a bit more fair. Let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
somebody else is going to write in and go like, "Oh, your scoring system isn't fair." Rematch.
Rematch. We're going to be lying
to
each other.
Out of stories.
Any excuse for a rematch. Okay, so that's round one. Paul, I think it's your turn now.
Paul,
is it my turn?
Taylor.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So when I was younger, I almost died in a car accident.
Ooh.
I'm already not believing it. You almost died in a car accident.
Yes.
How old were you?
Was I 18 yet? 17.
So when you say you almost died, does that mean that your life was you were in critical condition, or does it just mean that a car, if you'd stepped one step forward, the car would have hit you, but you were unharmed? Were you harmed?
I was unharmed, but I could have been seriously hurt.
Okay.
Okay. So you were in the car?
I was in the car, yeah.
Some details.
Well, no, but you start off with the sensors and then you get me to
So someone was driving a car?
I was driving the car.
You were driving the car?
I was driving
you were
my
in
car.
A in a crash with another car?
Yes. It involved another car, but the other car wasn't affected. I don't know who the other car was.
It was like a swerve.
Yeah. So what happened was I was, I used to live in Kent and I was driving home. I used to go to college in Canterbury, and I used to live in Folkestone, which is about, I think it's like a 15-mile drive. So we were out with some friends one night, and I was driving back home from Canterbury.
You were driving?
I was driving. I think it's true. I'd had one drink.
It's winning me over.
I'd had one drink, so I wasn't over the limit.
It's not true. Sorry. Go on.
And so I was driving back country roads, right? There's not a lot of main roads, country roads. And as I was driving, there was a car, you know, they're like one lane roads, you know, where it's just, there's only one, it's not a dual carriageway. And so the car that was coming in front of me was severely in my lane. Like I don't know what was happening. I don't really remember much about it, but the guy was swerving and I had to like swerve to get out of the way, like swerve left, because he was coming towards me, and basically I went off the road into the ditch.
Whoa!
and the car overturned.
You rolled the car?
Yeah. And
in the ditch?
Yeah. I don't know how or why nothing happened, but yeah. I was...
You were unhurt.
I was unhurt. I got out of the car, called the police. The guy fucked off. Like he just...
You called the police?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just get this straight, all right? You're driving around down a country road late at night. You'd had a drink, but you weren't over the limit.
Yes.
Yeah?
I mean, I had a drink like earlier on in the evening.
Okay. But, and you weren't over the alcohol limit. No. Fine. How do you know that you weren't over the limit?
I had one drink earlier on the evening.
I mean, I didn't take measurements from my blood.
But you just assume...
Yeah, because I'd taken it earlier. I'd like, you know, it was...
You called the police on your mobile phone. You had a mobile.
Yes.
And whose car was it?
It was... my mum had bought it, but it was my car. We had... it was the car that I passed my test in.
Okay. And you were... And where were you driving to and from? Sorry.
I was driving home from Canterbury to Folkestone. So I was... It was after like college, after a night out, and I was driving back home in the evening.
Okay. And what happened when the police came?
They arrived. I said it was involved in a car accident. I don't remember what I said, but it was a car accident. They asked me, you know, where I was. I knew the road, so I knew it was on the A2. And so they arrived and they asked me what had happened. And I told them that there was a car that veered towards and I had to kind of veer off the thing. And that was all I remember.
But why did you... Hold on. So where did you call the police from? Did you manage to get your car back on the road and carry on driving?
No. I was like in the
ditch.
In the ditch.
He had a mobile, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's only young.
Okay. And then what did they do to the car?
What did they do to the car?
Yeah, the police.
I don't know. They took it.
How did you get home?
I didn't go home. I went to the hospital afterwards because they were like, you should go to the hospital. I said I was fine, but they were like, you should go to the hospital.
How did you get to the hospital?
The ambulance came.
Okay.
And what did they do at the hospital?
They made me wait because they saw that there was nothing really physically wrong with me, and then I had to wait for, you know, a couple of hours, and they did some scans and things like that. I had to wait for ages.
Okay. And in the meantime, what happened to your car?
I don't know.
Well, when did you get your car back?
I never got it back. It was written off.
It was completely fucked.
Yeah, it was upside down.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean it's fucked.
Well, like...
I don't know much about cars, to be honest.
Generally, Amber, if a car goes upside down, it's the end of the car.
Really? Yeah, I don't know that. I thought you just flip it back over.
My girlfriend, Addie, pulled out of a parking space. A car just tapped her in the side. The car was written off. Because cars are designed to
have no impact.
No, to absorb all the impact, so they crunch all over the place.
Okay. All right, then.
Cars are screwed, basically.
Okay, so the car was... And did you have anything in the car that you then needed to get?
No.
You had no objects or items in the glove box or whatever?
No. It was just like, goodbye, car. Yeah, it was like an old banged up Ford Fiesta, a white one. And so because I didn't leave anything in there because it was too... sketchy to leave something. Canterbury's a bit of a...
What were the police like when you saw them, when they came to you finally? Were they friendly and nice?
Yeah, they were. I mean, yeah.
Did they breathalyze you?
No.
Really?
Really? No. Test of your alcohol level. Okay. So just let's back up a little bit. So you're driving along. It's late at night or dark. And the car, just for no reason, is in your lane.
It's not in... It's like halfway in my lane.
Okay. And you don't remember any reason why there wasn't a cyclist or something like that they were trying to overtake. They just, for no reason, were kind of half in your lane.
Yeah, it was one of those things that just happened, you know, it just happens very quickly just go, okay, there's someone, like, you know, your instant reaction is to avoid what's happening, and it was just to veer to the left.
Right, okay. So you just had to swerve to avoid this car, and your car went off the side of the road, and it went... Did it roll over and over, or did
I've
it just go
no
onto
idea.
Its roof?
So I've
you,
got no
you
idea.
You don't know if you went over several times.
I think people blank that kind of stuff out. That sounds sensible.
Yeah, I suppose
to me.
So, but yeah.
I presume it just rolled over once.
How did you get home from the hospital?
But at this stage I called my mum, right? Because I was on my way home. She was always like, you know, let me know when you're home, or let me know when you're away home. So I called her, because she doesn't have a car, because it was the car. So I just said to her I'd been in a car accident, that I was fine. They're taking me to the hospital. Don't worry about it. The hospital was back in Canterbury, because it's the main sort of city in that area. Eventually, she got a taxi, came to the hospital, and then we got a taxi home.
Okay. So I just want you to answer a couple of questions, right? So one of them is, do you remember what speed you were going at when this happened?
No, I guess I usually used to just stick around the limit, just maybe a little bit above it. Like the temp, normally you get like a 10% buffer. So I think I can't remember what there are. It's now on. Is it 60 on the on single carriageway in the UK? No, depends. It won't be 60.
It could
60,
be 50. It could be 70 if you're out in the countryside. 70
is dual carriageway though. So I think it was, it was between 50 and 60 miles an hour. I can't remember.
Okay.
Do you not have to pay for your car to get towed? You know, if they've taken your car away, it's a write-off. Do you still not have to pay for that?
Potentially. My mum took care of the stuff afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how did it exactly feel when you, like, was there a point at which you realised you were going to crash? How did it feel, like, when it happened?
It was one of those things where, it was very quick. So I was just veering off and then something just happened. And then I knew that I'd gone down into the road was just like, it was like a ditch and then it went back up again to the field. And so I could feel myself going in there and that was it.
Mm, okay.
Really, it's difficult to describe.
Mm, it's quite a difficult one, this one, Amber.
I feel I want to believe that it's a lie because Paul has said on a number of occasions that he has got no compunctions about stealing a friend's story, thus having all the information and passing it off as his own. Mm. And I want to believe that this is that, but it's sounding pretty true.
Mm. The fact that he can't remember if the car went over several times or just once.
No, that sounds completely logical.
Really?
To me. Oh yeah, that sounds the bit that sounds the most reasonable.
If it was me, I would remember it if it had gone over again and again.
No, you wouldn't.
Really?
No, because it's a trauma. It's a shock. You know, when people say what happened in the accident, they say I saw the lights and then I was upside down. They like that moment. It's so quick and so traumatic.
Yeah.
That and you can't compute it because it's going so quickly. You know, I think that's, to be honest, people, very fair.
When you see like documentaries and things like that of people, you know, and they go, oh, what did you see or hear? Even like the stuff that happened in Paris a few weeks ago, you know, like you hear the eyewitness people, it's like, oh, I just heard like firecrackers and then I don't know, I found myself under a body.
Right.
I don't
right,
know how yeah, I found yeah. myself okay. under yeah. a body, but I was hiding under a body.
Tell me this then, when the accident had finished and tell me the situation then that you found yourself in. After bang, 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 suddenly, you know, everything went wrong.
Yeah.
And then after it stopped, what was the situation that you found yourself in?
I was in the car.
Yeah.
As it was upside down.
Right.
And the airbag had obviously blown out.
Right. So what's it like when an airbag comes out?
I don't know what it's like when it comes out, but when I realized what had happened, it was just kind of, you know,
deflating.
Yeah, it was on its way to deflating, and so I had to, like, I first thing was just to unbuckle my belt.
Yeah.
So I unbuckled the belt,
and what happened when you unbuckled the belt?
It unbuckled.
But you were upside down, right?
Yeah. But it was the way the roof and the seat were like, it didn't. I wasn't hanging, so to speak.
So what happened exactly to the car? I mean, it was damaged, but in what way? I mean,
well,
was it difficult to get out of the car because of the damage?
No, not really. Like the window was smashed. Mm. So it was very easy to kind of get out of the window.
Oh, you went out the front window.
Not the front window. Because the front of the car was, it's difficult to describe. So if the ditch is like a U shape, like the front of the car, the windscreen was against the bottom of the ditch.
Yeah.
And so I went out the passenger window.
Okay.
Were you listening to the radio? Before you crashed?
Before I crashed, I was, I don't know.
I mean, was the radio still working when you crashed? Like, was there music? Do you remember anything?
Was I
like
listening
that?
To, I can't remember if
some
I'm honest.
Some sort of macabre moment where in the aftermath of a crash, there's some happy little music
playing.
Yeah,
it's always a nice moment.
Yeah, in the background.
How long did you wait for the police?
It was probably about 25, 30 minutes.
Did you, were you worried that you might be paralyzed or something like that? Did that cross your mind?
I think the first thing I was looking around to see if I'd, you know, because those things, you know, you sort of see like
TV,
you get shot and you don't know you got shot. So I was looking around to see if there was any like
broken.
Proper physical
Did
damage.
Did you get shot?
I got shot, lad. So there was nothing wrong with me. And then I thought, like, I felt fine. I think it was just the adrenaline. The adrenaline kicks you and then, yeah.
Okay, so okay, no sort of physical problems at all?
Not really.
Like a bad neck or a bad back or anything?
Yeah, for like the next couple of days / week, like I was a bit contorted. You know, you have like a...
You're a bit stiff and a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. A few scratches.
And so... Just final, my final question: what was the outcome of this? I know. All right, I know. I've already said that. I know. But insurance?
Yeah, they paid out. They paid out the.
How did that go? How was the insurance process?
I was under my mum's insurance. She took care of it.
Okay,
but they paid it out and because the car's written off.
Right.
It was obviously cheaper for them to pay out than
Luke
to get a new one.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go on then.
It all sounds so true, Amber.
It does sound true.
Rolling a car, country lane, the car went over in a ditch. The car was written off. It all sounds so plausible. It's true. I'm saying it's true. You?
I'm saying it's true.
So?
It's a lie!
Oh, come on! Oh, nice!
Like the whole thing
none
is a lie.
None of it's true.
None of it's true.
Absolutely none of it. The only spot of truth is that my dad was in a car accident. Which when I was a kid, like 5, and that's like in a car accident where I think somebody, I don't even remember, but what I remember was that he said that somebody was veering into his lane and he went off, and that was the car accident.
Okay, so it's your dad's car accident.
I think so, yeah.
You don't know all the details.
I don't know if
that was good, Paul.
That was really convincing. It was convincingly.
We were very doubtful because we had quite a lot of questions, but I don't know. It held up.
And it was quite a sort of matter of factly told story. That was the thing, that it was like, yeah, I just did this. And it's like, no effort to make it comedic or like, you know, I felt like if you'd made it up, it would have been slightly more lighthearted or funny. But it was just like very matter of fact police report.
Yeah,
about
the way I figured out to lie about it was actually imagine myself driving, because I did have a Ford Fiesta. The details of what I had and the fact that I would drive from Canterbury to Folkestone, they're all right. The country roads, the ditch. So I had to like really picture it as if that was the situation.
I guess it's like being an actor. You just have to sort of imagine it was really true and then allow that to come through. In your performance.
Yeah.
Well, very good. So then...
2 points to...
Two points to Taylor.
2 points to Taylor. We could call you 2 point Taylor at this point if we wanted to. So I've got 1 point. Amber has got 1 point. But Paul Taylor is now in the lead, surging forwards with 2 points.
Yeah, but I think I not winning the last time? And then... No, I wasn't.
No.
You were winning last time. All right.
Okay.
You were pretty much a loser all the way through the last one. No.
No,
you weren't. You were even Stevens at some point. Hello, everyone. So that's the end of part one. And if you'd like to know what happens... if you'd like to know who wins this game outright, what's going to happen? Is it going to be Amber? Is she going to run away with this one? Is Paul going to finally win a game? Or is it going to be me again? Well, you'll have to wait until part two in order to find out. And of course, don't forget to listen all the way to the end of part two, where you can find out the details of a new interactive version of the Lion Game that we plan to play with you in the future. Okay? Thank you again very much for listening to this episode of Luke's English Podcast. And I hope that it's been a pleasurable listening experience for you, but for now all that remains for me to say is goodbye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.